Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome into the Cubs Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Cubs. John Graff, Kelly Kroll, Scott Chagnon, Matt Buckman, and Tody and Dracky on the bat phone right now joining us. Guys, 2018 Cubs convention in the books. Wilson Contreras steals the show. What is one thing that you learned, Matt Buckman, from the 2018 Cubs convention?
I think the number one thing I took away was everyone just looked refreshed and ready to go. Last year at this time, I was like, oh my gosh, season's starting already. I was exhausted from the World Series run. But this year, everyone there looked refreshed. They looked rejuvenated. Everyone's been working out, getting ready for the season, and they're chomping at the bit to get the season going.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think, everybody's talking the offseason with Schwarber, but there's so many other guys that looked phenomenal in phenomenal shape. And then obviously the fans, it felt like it was more of a relaxed vibe compared to the year after the World Series. And, seeing some of the kids, and they're, it never changes for those guys. But for the most part, I think it was a good convention.
I'm with Matt on this. I mean, that was the one thing Tony and I talked about beforehand was Chris Bryant came out towards the end of the year and basically let us know he was tired. And he was one of the few that was willing to admit it. But I felt like we saw a bunch of guys who feel good having rested and relaxed with their families. They've gone on these great vacations from, Rizzo doing his thing, swimming with the Sharks, and he joked fake getting married. That's because so many people took his tweet little out of context, which he did on purpose. And same with Chris Bryant getting the honeymoon in. And you can tell that these guys are really in a different place. I mean, a year ago, as of when we're recording this podcast, on the day they were at the White House and they had just done the Cubs convention, and on and on and on it went. And they're looking at a 4-week span before they report. And I think they were feeling completely overwhelmed at this time last year. We'll just run down, if you will. So yeah, I thought it was a really great weekend. And I really took away too, just 3 years of this core kind of being together, just how comfortable they are with one another. Holding one another accountable will be what you see in the season, but right now, just enjoying time with one another. It's fun to watch these guys when they get to just have a good time, which is what this weekend's about. No one's 0-for-4 yet. That's how Rizzo will put it.
Tony, you spend your summer shoulder to shoulder with the guys as well. What is something that you learned that we could learn from?
Well, I think just validating what everybody has said so far. I mean, Buckman said it right. Like, they all look refreshed and rejuvenated. And I think there's something to that even year magic that the Giants had. And, I know the Giants look a lot better right now after a couple trades and signings they've made. But I think it is. It's so difficult to repeat, and the Cubs prove that, especially when you have 108 years of a championship drought, to celebrate an offseason. But they just look different. They feel different. And to echo what Scotty said as well, the players do look better. A lot of them, not that they ever looked bad before, but, Albert Almora Jr., he has shed some pounds, and he looks to be in good shape. Everybody's talking about Schwarber, but Almora had maybe to put it nicely, maybe put on a little bit of pounds, looked a little bit out of shape towards the end of last year. And now the Cubs center fielder, who they really hoped, takes another jump, he looks like he's in the best shape of his life now. And I know that doesn't mean a whole lot. It doesn't mean he's going to go out and hit 350, but he's done everything he can, and he's already been working for a month.
Hap looks great too, Tony. But here's one thing that I learned, and I wanted to get your take on this. And I know I've talked to Kelly about this privately, but Jason Hayward, we hear from fans all the time who are fed up with his contract and not producing for the amount of dollars that he's paid. So one thing that kind of surprised me
in talking to eight different guys this weekend and talking to fans alike, they have different views. But these guys really, really like Jason Hayward. Favorite teammate of all time, Ben Zobrist, called it Jason Hayward. And for a 36-year-old World Series MVP to pick Hayward out of his entire baseball career as his favorite teammate of all time, for me that was flat out shocking because I'm kind of cynical sometimes when it comes to athletes themselves. What do you know about how the players view Jason Hayward as opposed to basically some of the fan perspective that can be some shade throwing at times?
Well, I'm sure, you know, Kelly has probably said the same thing. It's not surprising at all. These guys have been saying that and talking the way they talk about Hayward and have for the last 2.5 years or so. It speaks volumes because, you know, the guy that held the weight room, you know, game seven rain delay speech and meeting and all that, like, he is that guy all the time, and he's always accountable. And one of the things that I loved about him going back to spring training of last year, so obviously everybody knows he struggled in 2016, but he still helped the team win the World Series. So then fast forward to spring training 2017, and he had his swing back. He finally hit a home run. I believe it was against the Angels at their ballpark in down in Arizona. And so he had like another bloop hit or something too. But it was his first like two-hit game in a while, so media's talking to him. And it was the middle of the game, and he was in this cramped room where, you know, he was towering and actually, like, had to duck so he didn't get hit in the head by the fan. And so he just is talking to us, and he was really gracious with his time. Well, Rizzo, Bryant, and I think Addison Russell came in, and they were ready to leave. And the four of them were supposed to, you know, go carpool together. And Hayward was, like, calm and patient with them. He's like, just give me a second. And he kept answering all of our questions from the media, and he was – it really told me a lot about what kind of person he was, because he wanted to be there for the good moments, and he had already been there for the bad moments, but he appreciated that everybody was always so kind to him, and he wanted to pay everybody back and give everybody the soundbite, answer all of their questions. And he went through and answered, you know, even some local media from like Arizona, who he had never met before. He answered all of their questions. And I just think that was kind of a snapshot of who he is as a person. And we've seen that for years from him for the last couple of years, and the teammates have seen that as well. And he's the same guy whether he's hitting 200 or whether he's hitting 320. He is the same guy, and that's why teammates love him so much.
I think it can be maybe for fans a little bit, it's easy to forget or not see the stuff that happens behind the scenes. I mean, this is a guy that made it a point when David Ross was on the team to have bought a suite for him on the road so that he could bring his family to every single road contest that they had, just because he wanted this veteran who had given something to him when he first started in the league to pay him back in some regard. And that's the kind of teammate that he is, and that's the stuff that I'm sure, you know, it's hard for fans to see what goes on behind the scenes. And he's the guy that came up with the snap room as well. I mean, we know the rain delay speech, but he's the guy that when other guys are frustrated, he's the one that's there for them. And there has to be a special respect level. The guys see the work he puts in, and I know that they want it more than probably even he does for him. And so there's just a lot of, I think about all the things I've heard guys say, oh, well, you know, it was Jason Hayward that did this, or it was Jason Hayward that started that, or he was there for me, he picked me up when I needed this, or he's that guy that's just a thoughtful, caring person, and that goes a long way in the clubhouse. I understand fans want to see production from an offensive side, but there's always a glue guy, and Jason Hayward is that guy in this clubhouse.
Speaking of the clubhouse, you know, there's some new guys in the clubhouse, and a lot of people are also wondering about if there's going to be more new guys or maybe an old guy returning, Arrieta, so on and so forth, maybe another closer. One thing that surprised me a little bit was, and there still could be a move made in for a Cubs closer, but in talking to Joe Maddon, it seemed pretty clear that this is Brandon Morrow's job, and the Cubs, if they add something, it's not going to be at the back end of that bullpen. It's Brandon Morrow's job, and it's his turn to go and run with it here.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they have to say right now. I mean, they're not going to get a closer right now. They've made that clear. So they have to say that this is Brandon Morrow's job. Tony, let me know if you feel the same way. But, I mean, they're going to give this job to him. They're going to give him that responsibility, and they're going to ride it out until they have to possibly get someone else if it comes to that point. I think they want to see what he can do back there. I do still think they'll add another arm. I just and make that bullpen as, you know, stout as it can be, but I don't think that we'll see Theo or Jed, like Tony said, for a while. They don't pay, and never have, at least to this point, the huge dollars for a closer. I think it'll be June or July before we, if need be, they go after somebody.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say. There aren't that many relievers that will make a huge difference on the market still. Addison Reed went off the board this weekend. So I'm not sure who else I would want to see back there. Mainly, I want to see Justin Wilson come around, because that'll be a huge addition to the bullpen. That'll be another potential closer. I'd like to see Edwards stop walking so many people, stop throwing so many balls, and he could be a strong guy in the bullpen. I think they've made some additions to the bullpen, and I don't know if this year will be another year where they'll trade for a closer, because we're running low on assets in the minor leagues, and I think at this point they've kind of put a lot of people in the back end, and we'll just see if the sorcerer can get everyone.
You bring up the sorcerer. That's, of course, who?
Hickey.
And Jim Hickey. But Joe Maddon told us something that we'll let you know about in the future on NBCSportsChicago.com. The sorcerer is not his original nickname. He has a much more interesting nickname and an interesting story. That's a tease, but that'll be for later to come. But you bring up Hickey and Joe Maddon in the one-on-ones. Kelly, and we sat down with a bunch of the Cubs players. What's the most interesting moment, other than Schwarber, the most interesting moment that you had during the couple hours that we sat down with the Cubs players?
For me, it was, we just spent a lot of time talking about him, but I really enjoyed the Hayward one-on-one, and hearing, you could hear in his voice how badly he wants to perform. You could hear that he's taken it personally, that at the end of the last two seasons, he's playing more of a bench role than a starting role. I mean, he said the number one way to judge the season for this coming season is how many starts he gets, how long he stays in the starting lineup. Mm-hmm. And then when you asked him who's going to be the MVP of the team, what was his answer? His answer was...
You'll have to wait to find that one out.
There you go. You got to wait to find out. But everything he said, it was... you could feel he really wants to break out this season offensively.
Well, for me, it was Ben Zobrist. I think he really... he didn't really say it on camera, but you can tell he's starting to realize his age and where he's at in his career as far as a mentor with the younger guys like Addison and Javi. And we asked a lot of questions about that, and he gave some pretty decent answers. But at the same time, he's also, from what I could tell behind the camera, it looked like he's starting to realize like what his role is starting to become in his last couple of years probably as a Major League Baseball player. And to hear him give pretty good answers, which I'm sure you'll all see soon on NBCSportsChicago.com and on our channel, it's going to be some good stuff to see coming forward.
I thought you were going to say Zobrist because of his beard.
I mean, that beard was pretty good, beautiful. Too.
It was a beautiful beard.
I think it was by far the beard of the convention.
It was.
I mean, it was so finely crafted. I loved it.
Yeah.
And he wasn't wearing that weird getup he wore on Friday.
The bowling outfit?
Apparently that was a Calvin Klein, he said. Oh. He and his wife, they're eccentric people when it comes to their wardrobe. But, you know.
Scotty, that's style. It's not weird.
It's,
okay, yeah, hey. But if I wore that, what would everybody think? See?
This is true. We might need an MVP to your name to pull that off.
Exactly.
Scotty, sorry.
That was a Calvin Klein senior. Not,
you know, because I get to be around these guys so much, Jason Hayward, the two guys you brought up are the two guys that it doesn't matter what day of the week or when it is in the season, how they're playing, they are always kind and generous. I know Tony would say the same thing, and insightful with their words. Jason Hayward and Ben Zobrist, you always learn something new, or you feel like you get a beat on the team because of something they give you and talk to you about. So I always love getting to sit down with them. For me, this weekend was interesting to kind of see the guys like Addison Russell and Javi Baez and the younger guys who
get more comfortable.
Yes, they've gotten more comfortable in their own skin. And you can see it's written on their faces and the way they talk with this confidence. Now, even Ian Happ blew me away this weekend because he's a guy who is honestly shy by nature. And to take command of an hour-long panel, which he had towards the end of the second day at the convention, telling stories, and you can see that he's ready to be, you know, the guy this year if he gets the opportunity. Another one that Tony, he has lost weight, and he said the same thing. It's interesting. He and Almora must have both felt like towards the end of the season they were just a little heavier than they were, you know, accustomed to and wanted to be. So he's dropped some weight. And when it came to the trade rumors, I loved hearing Ian Happ say that it doesn't matter, blocked him out. He was too busy working out and playing golf to really care. So that kind of, you know, struck me. And of course, meeting the new guys, Tyler Chatwood, it was good to sit down and kind of get a feel for how he's going to fit into this clubhouse. And I think he and Johnny Lester will be all right fishing together and golfing together and manning that rotation this year.
Much more caught up.
Does Hep switch hit when he golfs too?
No, he's a righty. He said if he tried to do it, that's a great question, Tony. He said if he tried to do it left-handed, he would likely whiff the ball. He's a righty all the way on the course.
Much more coming up on the Cubs Talk podcast. We'll talk to Kelly Krall about the numerous panels she hosted, John Cusack on Beer Money, and Anthony Rizzo, future TV show host. That and more presented by Wintrust.
Hi, guys.
I'm Tara Lipinski.
And I'm Johnny Weir.
Guess what, Johnny?
What?
The Winter Olympics are right around the corner. And what does that mean?
Yay. That means we get to see Shaun White, Michaela Schifrin, and other top Team USA athletes conquer fresh snow and ice this February on NBC.
So make sure you're ready. Sign up for NBC Sports and Olympics emails by texting POD to 66866. Or you can visit nbcolympics.com/newsletters to receive the latest athlete updates, giveaways, and more.
Message and data rates may apply. Winter is here.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC.
We're back on the Cubs Talk podcast presented by Wintrust. Kelly Krall hosted several panels throughout the weekend at Cubs Convention, and Anthony Rizzo was asked to be his Valentine. What was that like up there on stage? Pretty special moment there.
Oh, it was so adorable. It was so, the deal was, Anthony Rizzo loves that kids only press conference, loves it. It's his favorite event, he says, of the whole weekend. And last year, because of the way schedules worked, they didn't have him on the panel. So he, for lack of a better word, demanded that he be the host this year, which meant I was out of a job because that used to be the one I did, and I loved it as much as well. I mean, it is just so great. You never know what's going to come out of the kids' mouths. You know, you love it. But so Rizzo's hosting this year, did a tremendous job, and the very first question he got from the Advocate children, who are there, of course, have come in from the hospital, the very first girl asked if Anthony would be her Valentine,
and
she had a rose and a box of chocolates, and he just melted. He and Schwarber both, like, Schwarber's like, it's not even for me, and I want to be her Valentine. It was just the cutest thing. And I mean, as you know, that press conference brought out a lot of good laughs, and Rizzo did a great job of in between questions, you know, kind of asking the guys other things that he knew the answers would be entertaining for the crowd, and so he did a great job, and it was another, yeah, tremendous weekend from that panel. And then, of course, the other panel I was on was the Wilson Contreras stole the show. And we all, what was your reaction when you guys heard that?
Well, I didn't even know it happened because I was doing the kids presser and then came back down to do one-on-ones. And then, John, you were showing Schwarber the video, and his face lights up, and I'm like, what the hell are you watching? I have no idea what they're looking at. And then I didn't realize till later exactly what it was. And it was a great instant reaction from Schwarber from what we saw in that room.
Yeah, John and I were in the interview room together taking a break between interviews.
We were on the floor napping. You
yeah,
check
we were
your
on
Instagram.
The floor practically asleep. And then,
no, you were asleep.
you did mention were. 30 seconds. You thought you.
Yeah, there was 30 seconds.
Best nap ever.
But I had Twitter going, and suddenly it popped up. And at first I thought it was a joke. I thought someone had somehow, you know, created something to make it look like he did that at a panel. But then I realized it was real. and I showed you, and we both sat there with our mouth, jaws on the floor.
Yeah, I think my first reaction was, oh, bleep. that was crazy.
That MF did not just say that.
You were hosting.
I was hosting the panel, but for those that maybe didn't see it or haven't seen it yet, the deal is the question that was asked by a fan was, what was the best defensive play? It was asked to all five guys. Yeah. What was your favorite or best defensive play from 2017? And Jason Hayward went with John Lester picking off Tommy Pham. And everyone kind of got, of course, a cheer out of that. The guys all talking about it. And then Wilson Contreras decided to jump in and recall that moment about how he ran out to the mound and told John Lester, dropping a few expletives in front of a full-on audience of children, adults alike, that he said, this, blank, blank, throw the ball to first kind of thing with vigor. And Tony, when you saw that video, did you think, yep, that's about right. That's what I'd expect from Wilson Contreras.
Yeah, I did. But like Buckman, I thought it was fake. I was like, how is this real? But I was expectant, like you said, because that's how he is, you know, behind closed doors. But I was not expecting that in a panel full of kids and other fans. So it was pretty crazy.
I think he kind of got lost in the moment. I really do. And he's up there with his four buddies, and the reactions of the players on the panel were priceless. I mean, guys holding their head, shaking their head in disbelief.
I love Wilson raising his arms afterwards.
The crowd egged him on. It was like he thought he was, yeah.
He realized he did what he did and he can't take it back. And instead of just shaming himself, he just owned the moment and enjoyed it. And I don't think he realized that he had the moment of the convention right there. But it's pretty nice that you can always go back and look at something and be like, yep, that was the Wilson Contreras moment. People will always look back at the Corey Crawford moment for the Blackhawks. Then now we have the Wilson Contreras moment. It's nice that we have a seminal moment to point to.
I'm really looking forward to John Lester's reaction when we get a chance to see him for that moment. Because he may recall it slightly different, right?
And John, you were talking to Schwarber after we showed him the initial video and his initial reaction, and then Schwarber kind of mentioned how that's us, that's who we are behind closed doors, and just that relaxed nature of the guys really came through this year with the convention.
He got real relaxed up there.
Yeah, Tony, I think from a cynical perspective, you could kind of say how annoying it is how much the Cubs get along, but it can't be overstated how real they are as buddies. I mean, there really isn't a bad guy on the team, and it's kind of, we're not trying to say this for them, but it's just kind of the way it is.
Yeah, it is. I mean, they all genuinely enjoy each other and like hanging out. And that's why, you know, so many of them show up to Cubs convention. Like a huge part of that is the fans. They love giving back to the fans because they appreciate all the support they've gotten over the years. But yeah, I mean, the other part of it is they get to see each other again and they get to hang out. And it's like a reunion kind of thing when, you know, you have 3-4 months off during the winter. I mean, a lot of these guys haven't seen each other since, you know, I guess, what was that, the second or third, whatever, third week of October. And now they get a chance to see each other the second week of January and, you know, get to drink a couple cocktails and hang out at Anthony Rizzo's show and, you know, make fun of Schwarber there like they did and, you know, just other stuff. And just get to hang out like behind the scenes, because that's what they get to do. They're on panels, but then behind the scenes, they get to just hang out all the time and get to know some of the newer players like Chatwood or Morrow, and, you know, just also get to update each other on what they've been doing these last couple months.
Before we wrap this up, guys, I just want to, in true Cubs convention perspective, just wrap it up with a little fan conversation. We got to spend a couple hours talking to fans, interviewing them for a couple pieces that we're working on, and there were two things that really struck me from talking with the fans. First of all, they need to fix the way they let people into that ballroom hall.
I swear to God,
it was like a stampeding group of bulls. I'm surprised no one got trampled again trying to get to that stage. That was just insane. And then number two, right around 5 o'clock at 4:55, Albert Amora was brought on stage in advance of Sports Talk Live to tape an interview. And as soon as those house mics came on with Cap and Kelly talking to everybody, and as soon as they start to introduce Albert Amora, it was complete quiet in the room, and then this ginormous roar overcame the entire facility as people were getting ready to finally hear Kelly and Cap and Almora talk. And it was just
let's be honest, Almora.
It was just really noticeable how much energy and excitement. They're just ready to go. So it was really nice to see Cubs fans as excited as they are. Obviously, you know, 1 year removed from winning the World Series. It's just the passion, especially being there in person, it holds so true to Cubs fans. You could just see the excitement for people. And I think I can speak for all of us that I think we're all ready for baseball season after seeing and talking to the guys this week. And one other story that I loved is we were interviewing a fan, and it was Crawley who we met, and we were asking people about their recollections of Kerry Wood's 20 strikeout game, because we're coming up on the 20-year anniversary. And he told us about his gym teacher, who was the one who took off work that day to go see Kerry Wood's start for the Cubs, and he brought the K's to the ballpark to put up a K every time Kerry Wood had a strikeout. And he brought 15 of them, and he ran out of K strikeouts for the Kerry Wood strikeout game. So he had to redo the extra K's more than once for the 20 strikeout game. I thought that was a great, unique story that you would never expect to hear from a fan. But, you know, what's one thing that you saw from the, you know, 3 hours of time we spent talking to all the fans that you found interesting?
Yeah, I would piggyback off what you're saying. There's a refreshed excitement, I think. The whole league or nationally, the Cubs might be overlooked a little bit this year. You know, we've got the Astros, you got the Dodgers, but this Cubs team, they haven't even reached their prime yet. A lot of the core. I mean, I think they're going to have a really strong season. I think fans believe that. I think the team believes that. And so I'm rearing to go.
And I can't remember another convention where it feels like the puzzle piece of the roster isn't completely filled yet with that starting role. You know, in years past, we've had Lester sign before it. We've had a few other signees. And now it just feels like we're still waiting on that big signing, whether Jake could come back or somebody else like a Darvish or somebody. But, you know, that we're still waiting for that puzzle piece to fall and see what happens.
I think one of the interesting things that I kind of learned and took away, which is really still going to work itself out moving forward. It's going to be what I'm watching. I'll be curious to hear what Tony has to say. But before one of the panels, I'm standing like in a back hallway with Madden and Hyde, who had just come off a panel. That's Brandon Hyde, of course, the Cubs bench coach, former first base coach. And then it was Rizzo and Hayward and all of those guys who then went on to that panel, right? Contreras and all them. And Rizzo is kind of poking at Joe Madden, giving him a hard time, kind of like, are you going to be okay this year? I mean, you lost your, like, you know, your partner in crime, everything gonna be all right? I mean, how long has it been? And he was alluding to Davey Martinez. And I think in that moment, I watched Joe Madden kind of look over and see Hyde and all the players in front of him. And it almost dawned on him, like, that's the new, that's the new norm kind of thing. And he was like, wow, you know what? It's been 10 years. It's been a decade. He had been with Davey Martinez for that long in terms of that was his guy, his bench coach, and now he's kind of looking at Brandon, and they joke, they were like, okay, so who's the pressure on, and ha ha ha, and they all start laughing. But I do think that that is going to be an interesting dynamic to this team moving forward, because so many of those young core guys were very close to Eric Hinsky, John Maley, and had gotten used to Chris Bosio, even if they, you know, weren't back there and part of the pitching staff. But it was their regular, and for young guys, change can be hard sometimes. So I'm very curious to see how that chemistry comes together moving forward. And that was just a takeaway that obviously you wouldn't have answers to, but you got to see for the first time Chili Davis around the guys and those sorts of things. So that was one of my takeaways.
Any fan takeaways, Tony?
Yeah, I think the interesting part is the fans and the players and, you know, pretty much the whole organization seem to be in sync this year at Cubs convention, at least. And, you know, far be it for me to tell fans like how they should be, but I thought at the convention last year there was going to be a lot more people that were like, oh my God, thank you so much, you finally won a World Series for us, and, you know, they're just like grateful for these guys and offering to buy them drinks and everything else. I heard so many stories a year ago about, you know, so many people questioned that, and like out in the open in the fan questions, why he, you know, left Hendricks in too long, or I'm sorry, took Hendricks out too early and left Chapman in so long, and all these second guessing, and, you know, the fans or the players, I'm sorry, and the personnel just kind of kept thinking like they would look down at their ring and be like, well, we won the World Series, like, what are you guys unhappy about? And the fans seemed, you know, a lot of them were happy, but there were a lot unhappy as well. And this year, everybody seems to be the same. They all just seem to be, you know, making sure that they're trying to win it again in 2018. Everybody seems singularly focused on that, while understanding that 2016 happened. You know, nobody's content with where they are now. So it just, it was kind of cool to see, like, the marrying of the two sides, the fans and then, you know, the everybody from the organization as well. So I just thought that was a cool part. There was very, very few awkward questions or, you know, angry questions from fans. Everybody seems to have the appreciation now of what this team has accomplished.
Tony Andracki, thank you. Matt Buckman, Scott Chagnon, Kelly Krull. I'm John Graff. That'll do it for this edition of the Cubs Talk podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at wintrust.com/cubs. Find all our podcasts on NBCSportsChicago.com/podcasts or subscribe on Apple Podcasts. They're also available on Google Play, Stitcher, and Audio Boom. You can follow NBCS Cubs where every episode is posted, along with your daily Cubs news and stories. Thanks for listening. Pitchers and catchers report in less than a month. Now the real work begins. We'll have it covered for you on NBCSportsChicago.com. Thanks, everybody.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.